Chasing China。
Ni hao and welcome everyone to the very first episode of our journey together on Chasing China. I'm Zara, your host and guide through the mesmerizing journey of expat life in Beijing, the heart of China. This podcast takes you on a captivating journey through the diverse expat experiences in Beijing. Whether you're a seasoned expat, considering a move, or simply curious about life in China, this podcast is here to offer you a front row seat to see what it's truly like to live, work, and thrive in Beijing. In each episode, we will have intimate and engaging conversations with incredible individuals who share their unique perspectives and experiences of navigating life in China. Stay tuned for a captivating exploration of the heart and soul of this incredible city. But before we dive into this exciting new chapter, I should perhaps share a few words about myself. Again, my name is Zara, I'm 27 years old, and I come from a little city in the south of Germany. I've been fortunate to have already seen and traveled quite a few countries, and I love getting to know new people and cultures. When I was just 16 years old, I spent a year living in South America, and it was during that time that I first realized how important and beautiful it is to embrace new environments and step out of your comfort zone. So now, since June 2023, I'm living in the heart of it all, Beijing, a place I now call my home, and I can't wait to share this adventure and my experiences with you all. But why chasing China, you might wonder? Well, during my time in China, I met so many amazing people and had plenty of interesting conversations that I just thought, why don't share them with more people to create a community and maybe also to clear up a few misconceptions on the way. And in this episode, we're diving into the heart of Beijing, and I will share my initial impressions of this colossal city and present you my very first guest in this podcast. But let's start this episode with a few important facts about Beijing. Beijing is the capital city of the People's Republic of China and located in the northern part of China. With a population of over 22 million people, it is one of the most populous cities in the world. And just to put it in perspective, when it comes to its size, Beijing is nearly 20 times the size of New York City. Now, I have a special treat for you in this first episode. Joining me on this adventure is none other than my husband, Sasha, who will be sharing his unique perspectives and experiences. So get ready for a dynamic duo exploration as we navigate the wonders of Beijing together. Hi, Sasha. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Before we dive into today's discussion, we want to make it clear that everything shared on this episode is based on our own opinions, experiences, and perspectives. We are not here to judge or impose our views on anyone, and we believe in open conversations and sharing stories. Hello again.
Hello.
I want to start every interview with a funny little game, so I will throw out a word or phrase related to China, and you have to share the first thing that comes to your mind. You got it?
Yes.
Okay, let's start. So, first word is Chinese traffic.
Stuck in it.
Chinese language.
Physically not able to speak.
Okay, presentation of China in Western media.
Probably not showing the complete picture.
Oh, that was a good one. Funny stereotype.
Bad table manners.
Beijing weather.
Extremely dry.
Technology.
Everywhere.
And last thing, what your family gets wrong about China?
That the air pollution is as bad as 10 years ago.
Okay, very, very interesting start. But let's go over to the interview questions. So first off, could you tell our listeners why you decided to come to China and what brought you here?
Yes, of course. Well, the decision to come to China was a bit unexpected, but exciting. We've always talked about living abroad for a while, and as I already spent 3 months here in Beijing as a student, China has always kind of been on the map for us. And a good friend of mine had an assignment here, and we always joked about me taking over his position here after he comes back to Germany. But unfortunately, this did not work out. But instead, he told me about another position here in China in a related department. And at first, I was not really sure whether to apply, as I was extremely busy on my current position or previous position. But luckily, you convinced me to have a short call with my now predecessor. And as the call went well, soon another call with my now boss followed, and the rest is history.
Oh, and I'm really happy. I don't regret a thing. So, now that we've been in China for some time, how has your experience been so far, and any initial impressions or surprises?
Well, in the beginning, everything was extremely exciting, obviously. The first few weeks really flew by extremely fast. We had a new apartment, new job, new colleagues, a completely different culture mixed with long hours at work and sightseeing on the weekends. And we had to set up our apartment properly and establish a new routine. So this started with the basics, like figuring out how and where to buy groceries, finding good places for walks, discovering new restaurants, and most importantly, getting to know the people who live here. And all of that happened quite quickly. Within a month, we already kind of felt like at home, at least I did. And it's beautiful to see that no matter where you are, it all comes down basically to the same things. And you can feel at home anywhere if you create a comfortable living space and surround yourself with the right people and settings. Obviously, you quickly realize that English won't get you very far here. But nowadays, with the help of translation apps, it's actually quite possible to get through daily life even without speaking a word of Chinese, like me. And you just need to bring enough time and a lot of patience when you communicate. And although one of the things I will probably never get used to is the sheer amount of people here, especially during rush hour, you can actually feel that 22 million people live here. Yeah, but to this day, there are still new places and things you find or recognize almost daily. So it definitely does not get boring here, and I'm really continuing to enjoy the adventure.
No, it will definitely not get boring here. On the contrary, even though I'm not working here yet, I'm quite busy. Like, normally I'm out all day long running through the city, getting to know new people. Especially in the beginning, you try to build a new cycle of friends, and for that you really need to go out and live. So there are so many possibilities here. Sport activities, parks you can visit, temples, sweet coffee shops and restaurants. And of course, you have to discover all of that. So the first few weeks, as you mentioned, passed by so quickly and felt like vacation. But I guess after the initial 3 weeks, when we established our routine, going to the gym in the morning, figuring out your working hours, get used to them, get to know where to buy your stuff, what to buy. And after that, I really started feeling at home. And now I don't want to leave at all. So I guess that's a good thing. But yes, I believe the topic of where and what to buy was the most time consuming in the beginning, and also funny, because everything is in Chinese and you end up buying things on a whim and then figuring out what they are. So I think after we found out what to buy, where to buy it, and also like buying decorations for our new apartment, for example, buying candles or sometimes flowers, that just makes you feel like home. But I guess most of the people are asking themselves now, how do you get to know all these people here when you move to Beijing? So how do you make friends?
I think for me, it's basically everything connected to work, because I mean, I spend a lot of time there, and all my colleagues are extremely nice. There are obviously quite a few expats here, and we live, or many expats, at least from my company, live in the same area or even in the same compound. So you just see each other basically every day.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe a few words to that topic from a spouse perspective. So especially in WeChat, we will talk about that topic later in this episode. But it's basically like WhatsApp. And there are so many groups and people are so welcoming here. And there is a big expat community, actually. Yeah, it's really, really easy to get to know people. So I was afraid at the beginning, like, will I feel lonely? But definitely not. And maybe to add here another factor, I think in general, people who are willing to move to another country to work and live there, especially in China, are in general more open-minded and curious and adventurous. So we are all sitting in the same boat here. And also compared to other countries, I think the expat community here in Beijing is smaller. It is still big for my view, but we are all looking for the same thing at the beginning, to connect with people, to find new friends. So I think that also makes it easier. So talking about getting to know people, language is a big thing. So how important do you think language is when it comes to truly understand and connecting with Chinese culture?
I think to truly understand Chinese culture and people, it is essential to learn the language. But even without learning it, you can increase your understanding just by being aware and attentive and trying to understand. And I think this is what the locals really recognize and highly appreciate it, if you actually try to understand the culture. But surviving in Beijing is possible even without any language skills. So I think it's an extremely valuable add-on if you can speak Chinese. But as I said, it's still possible to survive without.
Yes, and I was so relieved about that, because Chinese is such a difficult language. And I think we will talk about this topic very soon, but Chinese people in general are not so fluent in English, so it is very hard to get around. And as I mentioned, buying things in a grocery shop or in an app, so everything is in Chinese. So I was really relieved when I found out that yes, it is hard to get around without Chinese knowledge, but it is possible. You survive, you don't need it. But of course, I think it is always nice to know at least a few words, also to show respect and to navigate through daily life. But what do you then think about learning Chinese? Because a lot of people know that it is quite a difficult language, no?
Well, to be honest, I think I'm not physically capable to speak Chinese. I mean, I tried it a couple of months, but I think like most expats, I quit at a certain point. I think to truly become good in Chinese, you have to put in a lot of effort and time. But luckily, only a few basic phrases, you already can navigate yourself quite well here. And probably the most important one is "zhige," which basically just means "that one." And I can pronounce it correctly, so that helps a lot. But I know that you had definitely more Chinese lessons than I did. So what do you think about it?
Yes, I totally agree. And I think Chinese people already appreciate it so much if you can speak just a few Chinese words. So when I first came here, of course, I had a big motivation to learn and study Chinese, especially because I already learned Chinese for 3 years in school when I was 10 years old. And I thought that makes it easier, but obviously I forgot everything. So to be honest, I find it quite challenging. Not only learn the complex language, also the pronunciation is so difficult. And when you want to get to a certain level to have a deep conversation, as you said, you have to put so much effort and energy in it, which I guess most of working peoples here just don't have. But thanks to all the amazing translation apps, I didn't have a very big and unique language-related challenge. I think it's more a daily challenge, because with most people you cannot interact fast and easily. You have to be patient, because also using the nice apps requires a lot of time. So most common challenge are ordering something special. For example, if you don't want garlic like us, or you want salt and pepper, asking for the way, or like really any other issue that's challenging in daily life. But coming back to actually living here, as we all know, living in a new country always comes with its differences. So what are some of the notable differences you've observed, and how have you been adjusting to them?
Well, adjusting has been quite a learning curve. I think the obvious difference, as I already mentioned before, is the language. But besides that, there are so many little things that are just very different from Germany. It starts with a shopping experience, goes through parks, restaurants, and of course the working environment. Here in China, for example, you can order almost everything to your home. The classic trip to the supermarket, like we have it in Germany, is not really a thing here. So it's just quite too convenient to get everything delivered, no matter the day or time. And this is quite nice when you find out on Sunday evening that something is missing.
Yes, and Meituan is so different from the options we have in Germany, because in Germany you only have access to these kinds of services when you live in a big city, or only to certain hours or certain items, and then the delivery fee is so expensive. So It is so great here, and I just can't repeat it enough how much I love Meituan.
Yes, and maybe for the ones who don't know, Meituan can be compared to Lieferando or Volt, but basically delivering anything you can dream of to your doorstep within 30 to 60 minutes. And then there's, of course, Taobao, the Chinese Amazon. Here you can find everything your heart desires, and it's fascinating how affordable everything is. And you can get there everything, clothing, electronic devices, stuff for the kitchen. It's quite nice. And what I find specifically fascinating is the fact that the parks here in Beijing, they seem to be the extended living room of the elderly people. They sing, they dance, they play games, either alone or in large groups. And from time to time, you can even find Chinese people setting up a stage in the middle of a park with professional equipment, and they just start singing to their imaginary audience.
Yes, that is so funny. And sometimes you even see Chinese people in a park getting haircuts. Yeah, a lot of funny things to observe in a park. But you also mentioned the working environment. So what's different about that exactly?
I can only talk about my personal experiences in the company that I work. I think first things first, home office is not really a thing here. So coming from a lot of home office back home in Germany, it was quite an adjustment to be in the office all day, every day. And for me, this includes quite a long commute time as well. So my office is further outside the city, and there's a shuttle bus every day for the employees. And with all the traffic, it takes around like 45 minutes one way to get there. So including commute and not having home office, I think that's quite different to Germany.
Yes, that has definitely been an adjustment also for me to see you less. But now I really am more grateful for this flexibility regarding home office and working hours we had in Germany. It's always good to keep that in mind. And as I asked you about stereotypes in the beginning, what are some common misconceptions, stereotypes people have about China, and which are true or not so true?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions, at least in my family or that my friends had, is that the Chinese people mostly follow all the rules. And as far as I experienced it till now, that's not always the case. So one of our Chinese friends, he explained it to us that way. When there are rules where Chinese people can get around, they will try everything to get around. But when it's important rules, they really stick to it. And maybe one funny example regarding this are traffic lights. Chinese people actually cross red lights quite often. And to be honest, they care a lot less about traffic rules than we do in Germany.
Oh, yes, definitely. And that can be very, very dangerous here sometimes. So take care, people. You told me before that the life here is much more convenient. Is it just the ordering and delivery of things, or is there more?
So I don't know if all of your guests heard already about Didi and WeChat. So maybe you could give a short explanation about these amazing apps.
Sure. Didi and WeChat are prominent Chinese tech platforms, and Didi is a leading ride-sharing service, often referred as the Uber of China, providing transportation solutions. And on the other hand, WeChat is a multifunctional app that combines messaging, social media, and payment services. Think of it as an all-in-one platform, widely used for communications and daily activities in China, similar to a combination of WhatsApp, Facebook, and Apple Pay in one app. It's really nice.
Yeah, that was a good explanation. So as you may guess, these apps make life here so much more easy. And having just one app for almost everything is really nice. You can split your bills with friends, you can just send money, make doctor appointments, and have membership cards, or you can basically do everything in WeChat. And I think this might be a nice idea to dedicate maybe even a little episode to this, right?
Guess what? I've already planned something like that. So stay tuned. And coming back to Didi is just so cheap compared to most of other countries. It's reliable, fast, everywhere, and as mentioned, just cheap. I love Didi. I don't know if you've already known this, but there's actually even a service that if you drive with your own car, but you cannot drive anymore for certain reasons, like drinking, then you can even order a person who drives you home with your own car. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, I love China. And maybe one last thing, the railway system. It is just so punctual, clean and extremely well organized, a dream for every German.
Absolutely. So for all German listeners, that will be like a dream come true. So no cancellations or delays ever.
Yes.
Okay, let's go over to another topic. What about restaurants and going out?
Well, restaurants are really abundant here. And obviously, many of them are Chinese. However, there's really a diverse food culture here. And you can find everything from all around the world. Italian, Turkish, German, American restaurants.
Yes, I believe one could be occupied for years, if not decades, trying everything. But I'm very glad that there are also German restaurants. I think if one ever feels homesick, that's a nice option to treat yourself to make you feel a little bit at home at least. And it's also interesting that tipping is not really a thing here. It is rather considered unfriendly. Actually, I am told that this shows to the waiter that you think he or she does not earn enough money, so thus they lose face. So it's so interesting when you question different behaviors and where they come from. And in terms of prices, it is very affordable to eat locally. At Western restaurants, you'll find almost Western prices. But as everywhere in the world, the sky is the limit when it comes to more extraordinary locations or foods. Let's go over to the next topic. Besides the adjustments, have there been any particular aspects of China that have become your favorites or highlights of the expat experience so far?
For sure. For me personally, it's the friendliness of strangers. Not in the masses, on the streets, obviously, but when you're trying to find your Didi driver, for example, and you try to call him, and remember, I don't speak a word Chinese, and most of the Didi drivers don't speak English, I just give a phone to a random stranger on the street, and most of them, they actually talk to the Didi driver, and they help me find the Didi. So that's really, really nice.
Yeah, and it was so impressive. So when we were at the airport and looking for our Didi driver and, as Sasha mentioned, giving our phone to a random stranger, he just brought us to the Didi driver. We walked 5 minutes through the whole airport and he accompanied us till we arrived to the Didi drivers and then just left. So they are actually very, very helpful and kind people here in China. And like after the first impression, I did not expect that. So that is a very beautiful thing here. Just a quick side note, because you told us that in the masses on the street, maybe Chinese people do not treat you that friendly always. That is a very interesting topic, because I think a lot of people observe that at the beginning, that sometimes Chinese people seem to be rude on the street. But that's actually a very interesting topic we will be talking about in a future episode, because I think it's rather they don't care. It's not that they want to be rude. So we will actually have a very interesting guest who is specialized in these kinds of intercultural differences. So don't forget to check this out later. But now I want to know one more thing. So what was your favorite experience here so far?
So far, I would say visiting the Great Wall together with my older brother. He was visiting us in November. So after we've already been there for 4 months, I think. And yeah, it's just great. I really love going there. It's extremely impressive. So everybody who's in Beijing or wants to visit, you shouldn't miss out on the Great Wall. It's one of the most impressive thing I've ever seen, I would say. And sharing that experience with my brother, it was just extremely, extremely nice. Yeah.
Oh yes, I love that too. So shout out to Sasha's brother. If you hear that, we loved it. So please come back.
Yeah, and what about you? What was your favorite experience so far?
So I think you remember, I think it was the second day we arrived here in Beijing and we decided to try the shared bicycles here. And remember, I was not a big bicycle person, so I was a bit nervous also taking a bicycle or riding a bicycle here in the big city. But it was so amazing. So getting a shared bike here is so, so easy. And guess you also get it with WeChat. You just scan a QR code. I think you pay like 15 cents per hour and they are everywhere. Actually, really everywhere. So we took them and we just drove around the city and I just got this feeling of independence. Like, yeah, fuck, we really arrived here in Beijing and we will live here for the next 3 years. And that was such a nice feeling. So yeah, I think one of my favorite moments here. Yeah, let's maybe go to the opposite. So what was the worst one?
Well, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is having food poisoning. So, I think I have a rather sensible stomach, and I had to adjust to Chinese food and, yeah, find out which Chinese food I can actually eat. So I think in the first 6 months, I had like 4 food poisonings. So, yeah, I now know the places I can go. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and living in China with a sensible stomach is not so easy. So I definitely remember the bad restaurant choices. So I am really glad that we found our go-to restaurants.
But what about you?
Actually, I do recall a rather negative experience. At some point during our first month in Beijing, I was walking along the main street when out of nowhere an elderly Chinese lady came running towards me, shouting in Chinese and hitting me with her shoe. I was completely overwhelmed in that moment and had no idea what to do, considering I didn't understand a word. So shockingly, other people on the street just walked by without intervening. So eventually, I decided to simply run away and had to take a moment to collect myself. And it was undeniably a very strange experience, but fortunately it seems to have been a one-time occurrence, because nothing like that has happened to anyone else I know so far, and I hope that stays like that. So, but after that, maybe we focus on the great things in front of us as we continue this adventure together. What are you looking forward to exploring or experiencing in China?
Well, I'm excited about exploring more of China. I think just traveling around a little bit, seeing more remote places. But I think what I really, really look forward to is exploring more of Asia. I mean, living in China gives us the opportunity to travel way cheaper and more easily around Southeast Asia. And there are just so many things to explore inside China, outside China, and it will be really, really nice.
Yes, I agree, and I think we have very nice plans in front of us. So, but to finish, what advices do you finally have for others interested in moving or visiting China or in general?
I think you should try to be as open as possible and try to understand the people here and be patient. I think such an experience can be super exhausting, and sometimes it is okay to shut down and search for your own safe space. But yeah, I think all in all, you just really have to try to understand the culture and people. And I can promise you there are some things in China that I will never understand. But I think that's the other point worth mentioning. When you want to truly immerse yourself into another culture, you should always allow yourself to retrieve back at some point and go back to what you know and what you like. I think this really helps to reflect and understand the other culture even more. So for me, maybe an example is just going to an authentic German restaurant from time to time, or get out of a city for a nice walk in the nature, and afterwards I can handle Beijing again.
Yes, and that's totally understandable. So great advice. Thank you for that. And thank you for joining us today and sharing your thoughts. But before we say goodbye, I have one final question that I'll ask every guest on this podcast. If, after your time in China, you were to return to your home country or another place, what aspect, habit, or behavior will you bring with you?
Not just being open to understand other cultures, but also to appreciate cultural diversity even more. This also makes you reflect about your own culture and behavior. So, of course, you appreciate, on the one hand, some aspects of being German, but at the same time, you start to question some things. And maybe to add a daily thing, I think I will appreciate even more to order stuff. And I think I will just miss the convenience that we have here.
I totally agree. Like, all the applications and platforms we have here, like Didi, Meituan, Taobao, it just makes life so easy. And it's a little bit embarrassing, but I think the next supermarket here is, I don't know, 300 meters away, but we never go there. Well, in the beginning, yes, I went there to get a look of what products they sell here and understand them more, because as I already mentioned in these apps, everything is in Chinese, so you really have to shop with your eyes and look at the different pictures and choose it. So the funny thing that happened in the beginning is I just wanted to buy one broccoli, so I tapped on it when I saw the broccoli picture, and at the end turns out I bought 2 kilograms of broccoli. So yeah, my freezer was full of broccoli for weeks. So that was, yeah, already a good start, but you get really used to it. So now we order everything. Everything is so easy. It arrives fast. The delivery itself is very cheap, or sometimes does not cost anything. Yeah, it's just very convenient. And I think that will be a big change when we are back in Germany, because then we have to do the whole traditional grocery shopping again. So yes, I think living here makes us appreciate that a lot more. And it also makes us a little bit lazy. And I think now is a very good moment to mention something that is very important to me. So I know that living as an expat in China is a privilege that goes beyond the cultural adventures we share on this platform. And luckily, we have a company that supports us, especially financially. And we are fully aware that this isn't the reality for everyone, especially many locals who face different challenges. So just want you to know we are incredibly grateful for these opportunities and don't take them for granted. So, thank you. It has been a pleasure to have you as my first guest here on Chasing China. I think we touched a lot of interesting topics already. Some of them we will explore on a deeper level in the upcoming episodes.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure being here, and I wish you all the best for your podcast.
Thanks. So, now talking about upcoming episodes, let's talk about what you can expect. My plan is to do some insightful interviews with different people, especially expats here from all around the world, as well as some local people living here in Beijing, exploring topics like having pets in Beijing, having children here, or having an own business. And in our next episode, we are turning the spotlight on a special topic, raising kids here in Beijing. So get ready to explore the differences between parenting styles, challenges on the way, and how to maintain a good balance. So join us next time. But Chasing China isn't just about my and their stories, it's about yours too. So I want to hear more about you. Share your expat stories, questions, or suggested topics you'd like us to cover. Connect with me on Instagram on chasing.china, and who knows, maybe you will be a future guest in my podcast. I'm looking forward to it. So as we wrap up this first episode, I want to express my gratitude for joining Chasing China. So subscribe to stay updated and stay tuned for more adventures. Until then, zai qian and happy chasing! But before you get rid of me, I want to give a big thank you to my parents who supported me, especially to my dad, who is an amazing musician who actually created and composed the music for me. So thank you, Dad!